Okay, we'll start off tonight. Tonight we're talking about a concept called a relationship agreement. And a few of these have been happening around the world, but unfortunately a number of them haven't been legal. We've heard about, what do they call them, the prenups. And the prenups fall apart in court because they seek to undermine people's rights. So prenups don't get support. But a relationship agreement is a different concept. Now I'll stand up.
Yeah.
I'm an ex-teacher. I'm used to standing up and giving talks and doing presentations, business presentations, and so on. So we're talking tonight about a concept, a relationship agreement, which is an alternative, common law alternative to marriage.
Right.
Because marriage, many marriages are not written. They don't have a structure. It's all talk. They may have done some vows right at the beginning and nothing ever after. There's one party right at the beginning of a marriage, the reception, but no future parties ever afterwards. A relationship agreement at renewal time, you can have continual renewal parties and you can have your friends doing relationship agreements in their couples also, and they have renewal parties. So you get many more parties and dinners to go to on Friday and Saturday nights when the renewals take place. In the relationship agreement, it's done in writing. Now, your grandparents may have been of the ilk that used to write letters to each other, love letters to each other.
Yep.
Grandparents, great-grandparents used to write letters to each other. They had a written channel going as well as a spoken channel in their marriage or relationships. That's been lost unless couples send emails to each other. But they generally don't write to each other in love letters anymore. That channel has been lost. And so that's to the detriment of relationships without the written channel. The written channel can be very exciting and gives a much great deal to talk about. That can be done in the relationship agreement as well too. In the relationship agreement, there are a number of aspects to it. You write down and you commit to some terms. You decide how long is going to be the term of the relationship agreement.
Uh-huh.
Will the initial relationship agreement be a month, 3 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years? I suggest it should be about 2 or 3 months for the first one before renewal. And you write down that it'll be 2 or 3 months. You also agree on the running costs of the relationship. For instance, it's worked out that it's going to be 50-50, and you agree to that in writing.
Yeah.
Or is it going to be 25 or 75%? Or one side pays all. So it's written down and agreed for the term of that relationship agreement before up until renewal time. Renewal time takes place after about 3 or 6 months, whatever is agreed, and or there may not be a renewal. If there's no renewal, that's the end of it. And if they're living together, then the clock starts ticking and assets start to be at risk, because it may be 6 or 12 months of cohabitation and then assets are at risk. While a relationship agreement is in place, a common law agreement, a contract, then assets are not at risk, because you stipulate what will be at risk, which will be the bond. So a bond can be placed with whoever holds the bond, and it could be $500 for the term of the relationship, and if there's a bust up, the party at fault loses their $500 to the other one. So there's a bond instead of assets being at risk. So it's predetermined, it's pre-organized.
Okay.
If you turn over to the back of the page, you'll see a section for what we call the terms of the relationship. Now, on the colour one, the men's is in blue, the woman's is in red. And they write down what are the important terms that are very important in the relationship. These are things that should be discussed, but not only discussed, but written down. And then they discuss them further during the relationship and refine it for the next time the relationship agreement is renewed. It's interesting to see who writes the most points. One of them might write all 15 and the other one only writes 5. The one who writes 5 isn't all that fussy and fastidious.
Okay, I want to ask you a question.
Yes.
Question.
you. Question. How does a relationship agreement protect you?
Because it's in writing, because you agree on the terms, and you agree that there are terms, so you know what is important. What are the boundaries, so to speak? And it protects assets, that assets are not at risk because it's a common law agreement. It's not like under the Marriage Act of 1961 where assets can be at risk. You've got protection for assets as long as the agreement is kept current. How it protects you is you can write that in the terms, what is important to protect you. You discuss them and write them down rather than just talk about them and then they're forgotten, they go out the window and...
So hang on, so sorry, so that when you get married, the law you marry under is the Marriage Act 1961. So
yes, but it's been renewed lately. But it's 1961 Marriage Act, Commonwealth legislation.
Okay.
Marriage is not common law. Marriage is an act of Parliament.
Right.
But also, this may sound rather strange,
yep,
but marriage is not a Christian concept. If you really go into Scripture, Scripture does not teach marriage. I'll go into that later if you want to ask.
No, that's interesting, yeah.
That is interesting. Because there's no verse, really, in the New Testament that teaches thou shalt get married. It's not a commandment in the old Exodus or Deuteronomy, and Jesus didn't teach it. You can ask me about that later on if you like. So, the terms are where you write down what is important. They can be brief, they can be detailed, and there can be penalties involved as well.
Yeah.
The terms might be, he puts out all the garbage, I'm not going to put out the garbage.
Yeah.
Or you agree on what time you're going to get up, who makes the breakfast. You agree on everything, so it's all sorted out.
Right.
The idea is to renew these terms with each relationship agreement renewal, so eventually you reach perfection. The idea is to reach perfection in a relationship by committing to the written channel of communication, which is lost in many current relationships. It was there, as I said, in love letters a long, long time ago, but those love letters were often before the marriage. Maybe not during the marriage, but before the marriage. But this is to achieve perfection within, by the constant renewal. So the term of the period of the relationship agreement shouldn't be too long. It shouldn't be 5 years to start off with, because then you don't get a chance to revisit the terms and rewrite it. It should be 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, and then 2 years, say for example, in that order. So the idea is to reach perfection, and it can be a lot of fun if you can find somebody who will do this with you and is serious about reaching perfection in a relationship or a marriage. A marriage without the backbone of a relationship agreement is sort of spineless. They're not really committing as much as they could. They're holding back. If you've got a partner who won't enter into a relationship agreement with you and who are holding back, then they're having second thoughts. They won't commit very far and they won't go and put it in writing, which means they're looking
out for... Or maybe they're having a relationship with someone else.
They could be, but that can be written into the agreement, in the terms, that you can have parallel relationships, multiple parties and things. You can put that in, or you can have a sequential relationship rather than a relationship in parallel. A sequential relationship is where you don't move on to the next one until the last one finishes. They're sequential, one at a time. They have to end before the next one finishes. And you go through the big crunch, or somebody goes through the big crunch when it ends. Relationships in parallel need never end. Because they keep going. And they agree that they can do that, and the other party can do that. So they don't have to end with the big crunch. And so on. So they can be in parallel. Why not have five when you can have instead of one? Could be better if everybody agrees. And if there are children involved, as we say, the saying is, five fridges is better than one fridge.
I'll throw a little curveball at you. Something I've noticed with relationships, and talking to people older than me, is that what's happening now is a lot of couples, they've been married, and they say they've been married a long time, and they might be in the 60s or 70s, and they've thought about getting divorced, and then they'll rethink it, and they'll say, oh no, well you're not going to get divorced because it's too much of a mess, and everything will get lost and all the house will get sold. So what they end up doing is staying together and sleeping in separate bedrooms,
yes,
and leading separate lives under the same roof. Mm.
So it's rent.
Get a feedback
for you. Pay half the rent, pay half the rates.
Very common, yeah.
Yeah, very common. The figure is about 45-50% of marriages break up. Probably another 25% should. 25% keep going. 10% can be real bliss. But they're the ones that could break up, but they don't. They stay together for pragmatic reasons. So they don't go through the whole mess of selling up the house and living, going off into who knows what happens. So that's what they do. Yes, that is recording. Any questions? Comments?
The goals of the relationship or partnership, do you have to agree on them, or is that what each individual wants out of
it? You can do it either way. You can do goals for each, and then they have something to discuss until the next relationship renewal comes up, or they can agree on common goals. And I think they should do a bit of both. They should do their individual goals, what they would like to achieve in the relationship in that period until next time and long term, and they do a common one as well too, what they would like to achieve, which might be 3 children, might be that, or to move up a house, or to pay off the loan, or whatever. So they agree on some goals. This gets people crystallising their thinking. Gets them thinking. This can be very thorough.
Well, I've got a question for you. What's the main benefit then of someone, you're either going to get married, or whether you're straight, gay, whatever, or you get married, or you go into a relationship agreement. So what's the benefit of a relationship agreement?
This gives a structure. Gives a structure.
Normal marriage.
This gives a structure, whereas most relationships don't have structure. And if they don't have structure, they can't go on to reach perfection or go by the wayside. Whatever is going to happen, it's going to shake out or reach perfection.
You could always enter in this, and if after a period of time you feel comfortable with each other and then want to go into a marriage, you could.
Right.
But this would still serve a purpose.
So this sort of gives both people stability.
This is stability, security,
right,
certainty, freedom, more relaxation. So they're more relaxed because everything is discussed and sorted out and they're agreed on things, or they're not agreed on things. Mm. This brings things out into the open for someone.
That's interesting.
So the idea is to have the written channel, do an agreement, and for some this can allow them to go further in a relationship that can't be done otherwise by just talk. Talk that goes out the window and is forgotten. This is real commitment.
But is it bona fide? Is it legal?
Yes, it's legal because it's common law. You agree on it. There is a consideration. The consideration is the bond. There are the terms, the period, renewability and so on. So it's common law, not marriage act.
You just have to fill the whole thing
it's
out.
It's basically a contract.
It's a contract.
It's a contract.
So an expiry date.
It's a relationship.
And a deposit.
Yeah, well,
which you both agree.
In ancient times,
which you both agree,
the marriage was a contract.
Yes, they're a contract.
Marriage is a contract.
But these days they're iffy, they can divorce.
You're right, David.
Marriage is a contract, but under a different law.
It used to be a very serious contract, like 1,000 years ago, but very serious.
Yes.
You know, like, what, I suppose, I mean, like kings and queens and dukes and things, there'd be a lot of, you know, inherited property and things.
They did deeds. Such a deed as a relation, a deed of engagement and provision was a deed for betrothal. Mm. Now,
a lot of marriages were a financial agreement.
Marriages, convenience, or
past, yeah.
Financial.
And dowries. Dowries.
Dowries, yep.
Nowadays, many marriages become gambles. 50% last, 50% don't. And assets are at risk. And their lawyers get 2/3 of everything.
Okay, I've got another question for you. What, in your opinion, why do a lot of marriages just not work out these days?
They grow out of each other, they get bored, they move on. Because they're sequential. They're only sticking with one person. And they move on and grow and they develop. And they develop out of that person. They need another person. They should be in parallel. They should have multiple partners rather than sequential. Sequential is not natural.
Right.
You have the capacity to love and be attracted to many people. And some of those could be attracted to you. And you should not be in denialistic relationships where you're denying others you really quite like who quite like you because you're being sequential. You should be in parallel. It's more caring. So, you grow through people. You develop. And you can't stay with
unless
one person
both,
at a time.
Unless you both can come to an agreement.
Unless you put an agreement in the terms.
Yeah, that's right.
That's David's view. My view is one grows and the other one doesn't.
Yep.
One grows, the other one doesn't. That happens,
they
yes,
apart.
That's right.
That's right.
With the
yep.
normal life and responsibilities of life, they,
yep.
one grows one way and the other one goes the other
yes,
way.
Yes, one move. They move apart.
And they've got nothing in common anymore. Or
except
one's prepared to work at it and the other one's not prepared to work at it.
All
so
they've got in common
different
is,
reasons.
All they've got in common is the kids and the mortgage.
Yeah.
And so it's time
on
to move on, and
work.
That should be, and people should move on. So I run these dinners and events for people to find somebody else to move on to their next person. And people do that at the dinners, find somebody, disappear for a few years, come back again 5 years later, and so on. So that happens. People can meet people. And they do that. Because there are people on the lookout at the events to find somebody, and some people just want to come along and have a nice time. But some people would like to find somebody were that possible. And if you can find somebody who'd like to do an RA, this could be an interesting exercise. Some won't do it. The sooner one
sorry,
ends...
Sorry, what's an RA?
Relationship agreement.
Oh, yeah.
The sooner a young couple enters into a relationship agreement, the better it is. If they try and bring it in 5 years later, it's rocky. It's difficult to bring it in after they've already been 5 years together. It should be done right at the outset. With young people, rather than trying to bring it in later, because they'll try and someone will try and chuck it and junk it, and there'll be problems with it. It's not a rich as experience as it could be if it's brought in at the beginning on the basis of that. But that's more for young people in the new generation that will grow up on these sorts of things. Now that assets are at risk under our family law system, which is risky. So marriage has become a gamble. 50% go through, 50% don't. Of the 50% that do, maybe 10% are really good.
And not only that, marriages are a very expensive exercise.
They are expensive. Yes, they are expensive.
Yep.
When you go on a holiday, you expect, with a travel agent, you expect there to be something in writing. When you get a job, there will be something in a written agreement with your employer. When you buy a property, there is a written agreement with... the lawyers and with the vendor selling the property when you buy. But people think when you have a relationship or a marriage you don't have that, but you should have that. This is the written agreement which should be there, which one would expect to be there to smooth the way. You do it in other major ventures in life that are major, you should have one in a relationship and a marriage, and it smooths the way and it clarifies things. And we all know what we're thinking and we all know what we're going. It brings out things at the relationship meeting. And I'll preside over it if people would like somebody to preside over their doing a relationship agreement one day. I'll come out and do it. The charge is $500, which is $250 each, which is money well spent because you never need to pay it again. You don't need to pay it again at renewal time. It's just done once. And if the relationship falls apart, you can put in the terms that the understanding is that the party at fault, who mucked up or whatever, pays the 250 back to the party that was in the right. So it costs them nothing in the end.
Right.
Very good deal. But there needs to be a system in writing because you can achieve things you can't do otherwise. It brings things to a higher level, and the aim
right.
with successive renewals of relationship agreements is to achieve perfection. If that's the right person for you, or for it to blow apart if they're not, and you move on and find another one. It brings things to the surface. Any other questions or comments?
So how are you qualified, David, to...
I devised it. I'm the inventor. I'm a law therapist.
Okay.
I'm a law therapist, and I've got a degree, a doctorate in law therapy. It's up on my wall. I'll bring it to a future meeting if you like.
Thank you.
I'll bring that along. So I'm a law therapist.
What does law therapy mean?
Law as therapy. Law as
law
healing.
Law as therapy.
A healing process through law.
Oh, okay.
There are processes for doing it. There are a number of them. You won't get them from a lawyer. With a lawyer, you won't learn. You won't learn the processes. I help people who are litigants in person, who want to understand and achieve, and maybe not use a lawyer. The court wants them to know what they're doing. Nobody wants to be in a court case with a person who doesn't know what they're doing. The courts get frustrated with them. They need to know what they're doing. So I help those people. So I've been in the legal system since the age of 10, when I first appeared in the Supreme Court. In 1990, I got thrust back into it, and I learned various processes. So I enrolled with Macquarie University, and the course, believe it or not, failed. Not me, the course failed because it wasn't suitable for litigants in person. It was set up for people who wanted to go practice law, but not for litigants in person. So I moved off and did my own studies for 20 years. And eventually got recognised by an American institution who gave me a doctorate. A few of them. Because I did the theses, I did the work over the last 10 years. So I've got 4 doctorates.
Okay.
Not, yeah, different.
Okay.
Because I did the work. I did the work because it's just something one does. You do them, you write them, you put them up on the internet, you write them, and I got recognised, and I had done 4 lots of material that were suitable for a thesis each, and submitted them and got the doctorates. So I did the work, but I was doing it myself, but it stemmed from my having enrolled in Macquarie University, but the law degree wasn't suitable for a litigant in person. So later on I set up the Self Litigants Association in the year 2000 for litigants in person, and I've run my own cases because this is how you learn about the law. So I've had a learning experience you won't get anywhere else. Can't be got unless you do it yourself.
Yep. And you helped me at one stage.
Yes, I did help you. Tell me what. Tell us what happened there.
What happened with David?
Well, I went overseas and I did this thing of a certain amount, $10 a day, and they only put it on my phone, not on the data. So I was running up a very huge bill in data over about 3 weeks. And it was really big because it was more or less 24 hours. Any time it was off, I think it might have been something went wrong with the internet or something, and I was on a plane. I saved money when I was on the plane.
So they hit you with a real big bill. How much was it?
Well, embarrassed to say how much.
Thousands, something.
Well, more than 1,000. It was 5 figures, it was.
5 figures, over 10,000. We did a process and got it down to what?
Over 10, and we sat down and we worked out something. And actually, I did some of it and he did most of it. And I got a refund.
You paid it first and then it...
No, I didn't pay it. I paid the phone bill. I paid the phone bill, net phone bill. It was over 2 months. So it sort of went over 2 months. So I paid the phone bill for the 2 months. I worked out how much the phone was, and I didn't pay the rest. But it took about 3 months. But in the end, I had to pay, instead of paying $230 for the one for the phone, I had to pay another $230. They just rang up and said pay $230 for the data. So I got out of a 5-figure bill. So I thought that was a reasonable compromise.
I think you got it for less than $1,000, didn't you?
$230 they
all up chosen. Instead of over $10,000. That's not bad. So that's a law therapy process. Can be done.
Yeah.
For a litigant in person who wants to know how to do it themselves and have a win. And when you have a win, you feel real good. You feel real good. That is the therapy.
Much better.
That is the therapy. Law therapy.
Jeez.
Law
it
as
wasn't
therapy.
Much over 10. It wasn't much over 10. It wasn't much. It was only chicken food. You know.
But all we had to do was write a letter or do something and word it the right way and do it.
Yeah, well, so we did some notes, and some of the notes I couldn't remember or read, my own notes, so I had to make some up myself, but it was in, there were a few things implied, they were going to sue the pants off them or something.
It was going to take a lien over all their assets or something, so they didn't want that.
Anyhow, I got away with it somehow. It took a few months.
So law can be therapeutic. When you have a win, winning is the best therapy. It's a therapy. Smart victims get paid. Learn to prepare, present and win. Because it makes you feel real good. And it's a source of relaxation and stress relief. So I like that.
Actually, I am an expert on matrimonial law.
You are?
Divorce law.
You are?
Yes.
Tell us a bit about that, Dave.
From better experience.
You had some experience?
I've been through it a couple of times. So. A
couple of times?
Expensive?
Not always, no.
Better to run a dinner club?
Doesn't have to be expensive if you get along with your ex.
No, it's a terrible
waste
of money.
You can work everything out by negotiation.
It's a terrible waste of money.
Well, that's why you negotiate.
It's terrible.
You don't.
So we got any other comments, questions? We might finish off there. On there we've done a video over the weekend on the relationship agreement. And that's down the bottom of page one. You'll find some links to YouTube pages.
Okay.
Have a look at those.
YouTube.
We were thinking of looking at those on the computer tonight. But it's a 4 or 5 minute video and you can watch that.
Watch it at home.
You can watch that at home on your computer. The link's at the bottom of page one. So we'll finish off there, shall we? I hope you enjoyed that tonight.
It's very nice.
I do. We've got some cake and some coffee.
Okay, we'll finish off there. And I'll finish the recording. Thank you for coming along. Although we didn't have many people, it was a good night.
Well, I was rather touched to get
the... This delays the claim on assets while the contract is in place. But once it's not renewed, the clock starts ticking. And then it can be 6 or 12 months and assets can be at risk if it's not renewed.
Why is there a difference? Because they're now living together?
Because there's
together
a contract in place, whereas otherwise it is a default situation where there is no written agreement. No evidence of an agreement, so assets become
expired
at risk under the legislation.
It's not because it continues, irrespective of the fact
it doesn't continue, because it's got an expiration date on it. So it needs to be renewed, or it goes by the wayside, and then the clock starts ticking on assets. Uh-huh. So while the bond is in place, and it's all agreed, it's a contract, and it's not a default situation. So you only stick to people who will do one of those. Yeah, so you take it to the first date and say, I want to do this.
Yeah, I tried to do a prenup many years ago, but it's very hard when you're just about to marry somebody to...
Spring it on them? Nah.
Say, this is how we're going to end it.